Just about every week at this time, we dig into the pages of the Washington Post Sunday magazine for interesting stories about the way we live now. This week, the magazine featured its summer reading issue. It includes four essays by well-known writers about an important event or time in their lives. With us now is one of those writers, National Book Award winner Ha Jin, author of Waiting and Free Life. Ha Jin joins us now. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
I don't know whether your life seems that way to you, but to me, your story is so interesting. You joined the Army at the age of 14. You started teaching yourself English while working on a railroad. You were among the first to go to college after the Cultural Revolution. You came to the U.S. to work on your advanced English studies. You managed to bring your wife here. Of all these experiences, how did you choose the moment in time that you chose to write about for the magazine?
You know, my editor, David Rowe, told me that it should be a piece about that summer. So for me, that is really one of the most important summers, a summer of a transition that would change my life. That's why I just could not forget a lot of things that happened during that summer. That's why I decided on that summer.
I'm going to
the summer of 85.
The summer of 85, when you came
yes.
to this country. The first sentence of the essay reads, "In college, English meant humiliation to me."
Sure, yeah, because I was among the first group of young people accepted by colleges after the Cultural Revolution. That means for more than a decade, there had been no students accepted through the entrance exams. That also means in the society, all kinds of talents had been accumulating. And so there were all kinds of people who were very knowledgeable. And for instance, in my grade, there was a student who wouldn't go to English classes. He just stayed in bed reading Charles Dickens. And whereas like people like myself, we just knew a few words of the language.
You didn't realize how far behind you were until you got there.
I had no clue at all. And in fact, in the whole year, there were five classes. So people were divided into five levels. And for me, the humiliation was that for 5 years, I stayed at the lowest level.
How did you manage to get into an American doctoral program? Starting so far behind and having to sweat so hard just to manage the basics.
In the early 80s, suddenly American literature became very popular. The students, we were very fascinated by the new literature, which was really unheard of before. And because the subject matter was not always political, and there were all kinds of new techniques we didn't know before. I got somehow caught up with this trend at the time, so I decided to study American literature.
So you just loved it so much that it kind of kept
yeah.
you at it. It kept you
yeah.
at it. I must tell you that just about every sentence in this essay has something marvelous to think about, like what you had to go through to actually get your tickets, which involves a bribe of cigarettes. But we'll skip past that. The core of the piece is what you had to go through to bring your wife. Because you weren't allowed to bring her with you. Why weren't you allowed to bring her with you, by the way, to begin with, and your son?
At the time, almost all Chinese students were going to foreign countries were not allowed to take their spouses and children with them because that was a way to prevent them from staying. And in fact, also the authorities would not give permission to take in your family with you.
So you were planning to be separated for 4 years. Did you
yeah.
realize how hard that was going to be when you got on the plane after paying your bribe of expensive cigarettes?
I didn't. I think most of the Chinese students going abroad assumed that that was part of life. You have to take it.
How did you realize you didn't have to take it, that perhaps you could, you know, buck the system, as it were?
And once I was here, I had began to have friends, we talk, and I saw students from other countries. They have their children and their spouses. So gradually I realized that, in fact, everybody has had the right to be with them. So I began to try hard to find out the procedures for achieving that.
Just wondered how you were treated as a as a Chinese student when you came to the U.S., I just wondered, did you ever feel any sense of distance from the other students?
Yeah.
Just wondered if you had some thoughts there.
There was a moment when I really talked to one of the officers at the university and trying to figure out how to bring my wife over. And basically, I was stonewalled. And that was the only unpleasant moment I remember. But it really, it was a shock at the time. On the whole, I think I had a good time. As you know, Brandeis was a very liberal-minded, liberal and open place. But on the other hand, because I had grown up in China and had no sense of freedom, didn't know how to use freedom and or basic human rights, I really had these things were alien to me. So I felt psychologically kind of isolation from others, not because of them, but because of my own past. But gradually I got out of that, gradually.
Was there anything good about that time, looking back on it?
Of course. I think the good great libraries was fabulous, and also one could buy books for like a quarter at yard sale. And that really, I began to collect books, and I wanted to bring back a personal library with me. I was very naive at the time. So there were a lot of good experiences. Also, I began to have friends from other countries. Also, I began to learn how to drive. That was a amazing experience.
In Boston, no less.
I know. Sometimes I got into the wrong way. You know, that's the hard part, really, to know the roads. It's a lot of the driving.
And I should mention that when you came here, you never expected to stay. You always saw it as sort of a brief sojourn, especially because you couldn't bring your wife with you. Why did you decide to stay?
That was at the time when I was finishing my degree in 1989. Suddenly the Tiananmen tragedy happened. That really threw me off my plan. And I was really in a shock after that for many weeks. And then my son came out by himself. And I realized I wanted him to become American. And so that also meant I would have to stay some years in this country. And then gradually I realized I should immigrate and to make a new life here.
The piece is so rich with wonderful details, as of course one would expect. But I wanted to ask, what do you think you'd like people to get from your piece?
I think I want people to have some kind of a glimpse into the new arrivals' beginning, I think. Because there are a lot of wonderful things. There are also a lot of, I think, traps. For instance, money was a big attraction. A lot of people got lost in making money. I could have easily. And so I think providing some details and unify them, I hope the readers can see that the arrival was not always wonderful, but still it is amazing.
Ha Jin is the author of Waiting and Free Life. He's also a creative writing professor at Boston University, and he was kind enough to join us from WGBH in Boston. If you want to read his piece in its entirety, you can find a link on our website, as well as a link to the other pieces, which are all quite remarkable, at npr.org/tellmemore. Professor Jin, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you, Michelle.